Paul Slackus, Good News Planet. I'm speaking to Dan Schlossberg. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking with you again. It's been so many, many years, and I'm going to start this off with batter up, or no batter up. So we're talking about baseball. Dan is an authority after 25,000 articles and 40 books. I guess he knows a little bit about baseball and has a new one, the New Baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from Our National Pastime. Congratulations, Dan. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much. The book came out on March 17th, so it must be a lucky book.
Oh, okay. All right. So why is March 17th a lucky book mean?
Well, St. Patrick's Day, luck of the Irish. Even though I'm not Irish, I still will take whatever I can get in this pandemic year.
I thought that, too. Are we counting this year? We're not sure yet. It's such a stressful year. It's so problematic. And let's talk baseball, though, because baseball is something that it's a national pastime. Isn't that what they term it? How did that ever occur, national pastime? Is that right?
Well, it's got the longest history. It's got the longest season. It's a game anybody can play when you're a kid. It doesn't matter how big you are, even what sex you are. And there have been plenty of examples of people in baseball who are small, like the midget that Bill Veeck sent to bat in a major league game, for example. And then there was a girl that struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig during an exhibition game.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Happened in 1932. The Chattanooga Lookouts had an enterprising owner named Joe Engel, who was always looking to put fans in the seats. And during spring training, the Yankees were barnstorming home back to New York. They stopped off in Chattanooga, and he introduced a girl named Jackie Mitchell, 17 years old, and she struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in order. The very next day, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the commissioner of baseball, voided her contract and said baseball is too rough for girls.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen these days. These days, he'd be right in the major leagues, probably pitching well.
Yeah, that's probably so. Unbelievable. What else don't we know about baseball? What does the average person not know about baseball? You got a whole book about it, but give us another couple examples that are in the book.
Well, Dizzy Dean is very famous as a Hall of Fame pitcher, but maybe people don't remember he was also a pretty decent broadcaster. And during World War II, he was not allowed to say what the weather conditions were at the ballpark because they didn't want Nazi bombers dropping bombs on the stadium. So during one game when the St. Louis Browns were delayed by rain, he said, "I can't tell you why this game is being delayed, but if you look out the window, you'll know."
All right, what else do you have? Because you got a lot.
Oh, I know. There's a lot in there. And let's talk about Ernie Howell for a minute, another very famous broadcaster with four different ball clubs. He was once traded for a catcher. In fact, that's how he started his major league broadcasting career. Branch Rickey, who was running the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1948, was coming back through Atlanta at the end of spring training. Red Barber had taken ill, a regular announcer. But Branch Rickey heard Ernie Harwell announcing Atlanta Crackers games. So he called up Earl Mann, the owner of the Crackers, and he said, "What would it take to get Harwell's contract?" And Earl Mann said, "Well, you have a catcher named Cliff Dapper at your Montreal Farm Club. I'd like to have him as a future manager." And so they traded Ernie Harwell for Cliff Dapper, and Ernie was always known as the guy who was traded for a catcher, the broadcaster traded for a catcher.
Unbelievable. How much did the Yankees pay for Babe Ruth?
$120,000. It was rumored to be $100,000, and it was really to finance theater productions for the owner of the Red Sox at that time. And what a bad trade that turned out to be. One of the worst trades in baseball history. But actually, the worst physical trade, man for man, was probably Frank Robinson from Mill Pappas et al. Frank Robinson was said to be an old 30 by Bill DeWitt, who then owned the Cincinnati Reds. And all Robinson did in his first year at the Orioles was win the Triple Crown and the MVP award.
Who was the oldest baseball player that played
in the... Oh, it's got to be Satchel Paige. Well, although actually, more recently, remember the late Buck O'Neill? He went to bat. He was 94 years old. It took a bat in a minor league game. But that really doesn't count. That wasn't a major league game. Minnie Minoso was 53 when he came to bat for Bill Veeck's White Sox. So maybe Minnie Minoso would rank in that category. But Satchel Paige, nobody really knew how old he was in 1965 when he pitched three hitless innings for the Charlie Finley's Kansas City A's against the Boston Red Sox. He was said to be 59, but I think he was probably older.
Wow. I'm going to send you something on Satchel Paige because we did a stage festival, a theater festival, and when the show that won the festival was about Satchel Paige. Some nice thoughts in that show. I'm going to send you something on that. So,
and it was called Paige on the Stage, right?
Ooh, maybe they should change the name and get you involved with this one. It was a great, great show. Baseball is really just such a wonderful sport. Why do you think it is so captivating?
I think it's because anybody can understand it. I mean, football is not that easy to understand, and the same goes with basketball and hockey. Baseball is easy to understand. Everybody played it as a kid, even if it was just stickball in the backyard. Everybody liked it. It also inspires memories of summer or comparisons with summer. It's a summer game. It's relaxed. Bill Veeck once said, baseball is a sport to be savored and not gulped. And I think that's why baseball is America's national pastime, and everybody loves it.
You know, I was fortunate enough to do a show when I was at Channel 13 down in St. Petersburg, Florida, with the seniors softball league. So baseball, those guys, they were like 20-year-olds playing baseball, and everyone was 90 and over. That was something.
Yeah, I think the rule was you had to be at least 75 years old, which is pretty amazing. It's sort of like Julio Franco in his prime.
Who's Julio Franco? I know a little bit about baseball. I got 10,000 cards behind me here, and since I'm home in my bedroom, that's where they are. Who's Julio Franco?
Julio Franco was a guy that the Braves fished out of the Mexican League when he was something like 44 or 45, and legend has it that he's still playing somewhere in Mexico or Korea in his 50s. This guy was in remarkable shape, and even when he came back to the big leagues in his 40s and became the oldest major leaguer to hit a home run, he was in great shape, better than many of his younger colleagues.
How international is baseball?
Extremely international. Look at the World Baseball Classic, just for an example, and look at all the different countries that have teams. Even Israel had a team, and it did quite well, actually, the last time out. In fact, it did so well that it qualified for the 2020 Olympics, which have been put off now until 2021. And there have been a couple of movies about Team Israel, too. But baseball in Japan is the national sport, and the Caribbean, just about all of those islands, is the major sport. And look how many major leaguers came out of the Dominican and Puerto Rico and Colombia and Mexico. There are just so many of them.
No doubt about it. How about the actual game now, today, in the sense that the bat has changed? Or you tell me, has the bat has changed, the ball has changed, the gloves have changed? Am I speaking the truth?
You're speaking the truth. In some ways, some of the bats have changed. The Louisville Slugger is not the only bat maker anymore. Some of the wood is different, but primarily the ball has changed. If the ball is tightly wound, it tends to travel more. Also, it travels more at higher altitudes, such as Denver, Phoenix, high desert there, Atlanta. And the smaller ballparks have really helped that home run explosion. I think that everybody playing now is Dave Kingman. It's home run or bust, home run or strikeouts. Baseball is setting all kinds of records in both categories. Last year, the Minnesota Twins set a team record and hit 307 home runs, but the Yankees were only one behind. They finished with 306. It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's like home run derby all the time.
You know, they always say about baseball the thought that even the greatest baseball player only hits one out of three. Is that a true comment or not?
Not even that well. If you hit 300, you're considered an excellent player. And one out of three would be 333. But this year, all bets are off because of the short season, 60 games. Charlie Blackman of the Colorado Rockies has been batting between 450 and 500 most of the time since the season reopened. So who knows how well he's going to finish. But I bet he's got a lock on that National League MVP award already.
So what about this season? What's going to be? Are we going to make it to the end of the season? Everything still depends upon the health condition of the players.
Yeah, the coronavirus is controlling things pretty much. You can just ask the St. Louis Cardinals. They've only played You know, they had played five games while everybody else was playing 17, 18 games. The Cardinals are finally getting back into action, and the Miami Marlins are as well. But they're going to have a lot of doubleheaders to make up, and they have to do it within the framework of that 66-day season. So it's going to be tough for some of those teams. It's going to be really interesting what happens. Got to have a lot of pitching with all those doubleheaders.
The new baseball Bible notes nuggets, lists, and legends from the national pastime. Give me something else in that book to make people want to go and get it who like baseball.
How about the nicknames? I have a whole section on team and player nicknames. The Los Angeles Dodgers, why are they called the Dodgers? When they were back in Brooklyn, early in the 20th century, people who lived in Manhattan looked down their noses at people who lived in Brooklyn. Brooklyn had many crisscrossing trolley lines. So the Manhattanites called their Brooklynites Trolley Dodgers. And the name stuck. It was shortened. But on the 1946 cover of their spring training program, the Brooklyn Dodgers put a picture, a cartoon image of a streetcar. And it was called the Trolley Dodgers. So they haven't gone too far away from their nickname. But then again, it's like the Utah Jazz. They moved from New Orleans, where they should have been called the Jazz. That's where the Utah Jazz came from. So sometimes nicknames don't make any sense, but I've got a whole section explaining each team's nickname and lots on player nicknames as well.
Well, I will say, you know, I want to thank you for this, and I want to thank you actually because I am a Brooklyn Dodger fan, and I'm still a Brooklyn Dodger fan, and I even have an emblem on a coat for the Dodgers. So I'm a Dodgeraholic. I've always been a Dodgeraholic. I was depressed when they went to L.A., and now that Barclays Stadium is there, which is where maybe you can give us 2 cents on this one, where the Dodgers did want to move the Dodgers from Ebbets Field, right? Isn't that where they wanted to go, where Barclays Stadium is now?
Yes, it is. Robert Moses wouldn't cooperate, and he's the reason, not Walter O'Malley, that the Dodgers went west.
I know. It broke little Paul's heart, the little boy who flipped a lot of baseball cards to get those Dodger cards.
I can relate. I was a Brooklyn fan, too.
There you go. Dan, you're a great man. Thank you, and it is a great sport. I'd love to talk to you more about how we can maybe do some more things together because I love baseball and I love your enthusiasm for it and maintaining the goodness that it has to offer. Last question, what's good news for Dan?
Good news for Dan is that this book came out and I've joined with a group of other authors of 2020 books in something called the Pandemic Baseball Book Club. And if your listeners would Google that, Pandemic Baseball Book Club, you'll find more than 20 different 2020 baseball books, including mine, that are really great books and sold at a good discount.
Pandemic
Baseball Book Club.
Really? .com? Or even?
I think it's .com, but just Google Pandemic Baseball Book Club. You'll find it. It's something brand new. It's a great idea. First time all these authors who had been competitors are now allies.
Wow, that's, they call it, it's a team sport, isn't it, baseball?
It is. And we're all sticking together here.
Excellent. Dan, congratulations. Stay well and healthy, and thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to speak with you. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Paul. It was fun.